So my mom was bold for Christ. My dad was a bold prayer warrior. He wouldn't evangelize. But in any case, so they would look up. They would treat people. We would have people come in our houses. We were a very hospitable family. People sleep over, stay over. And they went from looking after themselves to having people look after them. And they had to overcome pride barriers. They had to overcome independence barriers. Now, all of these barriers are barriers that you and I have to overcome. What barriers did Dean have to overcome when he just fell backwards? Quickly, shout it out.
Trust.
Fear.
Fear.
Trust.
Trust. What other barriers?
Fear.
Fear. Trust.
Control.
Control. Yes, you have to overcome control barriers.
Fonsale
barriers. Confidence barriers. Bad self-image barriers. Rejection barriers.
Sure.
Lots of barriers he had to overcome just to fall backwards. So my parents had to become totally dependent on the help of others, on the goodwill of others, on the faithfulness of others, and the care and love of others. We go look at John chapter 13, 4 to 9. We read this amazing story. Verse 4, let's carry on with verse 4. So he got up, that's Jesus, from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Why would he say that? Why would he question Christ in wanting to wash? Because the person that washed feet in their culture of that day was the lowliest slave. The most recent bought slave or servant hired would wash. It was the worst job. And somebody in the previous service was Kristen, had a picture of Mary that washed Christ with her hair. What is the pride of a lady generally? Her hair, her face. And Mary, was it Mary Magdalene or just Mary? Help me. Who washed her? Was it Mary Magdalene or just Mary? I can't remember. I think there were two incidences. So she washed her hair. So she literally used her most glorious part of her body, the part that she loved the most, to serve the lowliest part of Christ, his feet. Wash it. And so here Peter says, "How can you wash you, the miracle worker, the Savior?" He said, he confessed to Christ. He said, "You are the Messiah." He confessed, "You are the Messiah. How can you wash my feet?" No. Then Jesus replied, "You don't understand, Peter, now that what I'm doing, but someday you will." And then Peter said again, "No, you will never, ever wash my feet." What a bold statement for a less intelligent guy, with all respect. Because Peter would speak before he thought often. So now he says, "Never, ever." Then Christ comes with a counter argument. And Christ says, "Okay, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." And then Peter comes with the most amazing statement. He says, then when Jesus says, "I don't wash you, you do not belong to me." Then Peter says, "Then wash my hands, my head, everything. Just Lord, wash all of me." So moving from "you will never ever wash my feet" to washing all of me. You're an extrovert, aren't you, significantly, Jean? Is she an extrovert? I've heard. A little bit. Okay, who's very extrovert like me?
Delana.
Okay, Amy. We often don't think properly before we speak, am I right? We own it, eh? You and I own it. Okay. So we own it. No problem. There are more of you, you're hiding now. You two. Usually drama persons are like that. They say sure. Say sure. Oh, yes, they say. Okay. So, sorry. Are you tough enough to handle it? Good. So usually extroverts can handle more punches. Not always. So now Peter comes from "no, never, to when he realizes the cost of not having Christ wash his feet, he comes with a powerful exclamation. Wash all of me. Take all of me. My head, my body, everything. Okay, turn to one another. Just two. Discuss the next question. And be interactive. Turn to one another and discuss which aspects of passion and surrender in Peter's responses you can pinpoint.
Let's look at the other verses. Let's go look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 16, 20, 1 Samuel 14 to 16, and then 20 and 22. It's all about David dancing. And David danced before the Lord with all his might.
And David was wearing a linen ephod. This is David, it's fine, not the end of the world. And David was wearing a linen ephod. You know what a linen ephod is? It's priestly undergarment, so it's a priestly underwear. So priests had a lot of garments. You can all hear me, hey? You can't hear me.
All right.
So an ephod is the underwear of a priest. Can I pull it? And yes, that's fine. So they had many layers when they dressed up as priests, and their clothes when they dressed up. And the underwear of a priest was the ephod. So he first put that on, and then he put other layers. So David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the wife of David, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Verse 20, and David returned to bless his household, but Michal, his wife, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David, because he went to go bless his household, and said, how the king, very sarcastically, how the king of Israel has honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servant females, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. And then David's response is, yes, and I'm willing to look even more foolish than this, to be humiliated in my own eyes.
Come on.
But those servant girls you mentioned will indeed think I am distinguished. It's just basically the same translation. Those girls will hold me in high regard. Yes, and I'm willing to look even more foolish than this, but I will be held in honor. I distinguish. It's exactly the same. Held in honor by the girls to whom you have spoken. All right. Turn to one another and discuss which aspects of passion and surrender in David's behavior and response you can pinpoint. So, this is very similar to the Queen of Elizabeth. 70 years ago, I think she's 90 odd. Imagine she's in her 20s or early 30s. And she dances, you know that road running to Buckingham Palace? You've seen it on television, you've been there, you've seen it. That main double, three or four lanes there and back. She literally, Queen of Elizabeth today, 70 years ago, would dance with her underwear in front of all the television, the whole of Britain. Same thing. The plus minus more than 10 million people in Israel that were there for the welcoming of the Ark, the presence of God. And he danced in his underwear. Imagine Queen Elizabeth doing that. That's the price he paid. That's how little he thought of himself. And that's how much he thought of God. So, why would the servant girls, he says here, but those servant girls you mentioned will indeed think I am distinguished. Don't turn to one another, just anybody. Why would servant girls think he did such a brave, such a wonderful thing by dancing in his underwear? Anybody? Yes, Jean.
Because they saw his passion and surrender.
They saw his passion and?
Surrender.
Yes. Very true. Yes.
I think it was also because the king was unfaithful, like
Yes, very true. So there were 40 soldiers, 316 years after Christ, and they were being martyred by Emperor Licinius that hated Christians. Christians were being killed in their thousands, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. And Licinius discovered that 40 of his top soldiers, legionaries, some historians say they were the bodyguards of his, that they became Christians. So he stripped them, he said to them, strip them bare, put them on a frozen pond somewhere in Turkey, it was East Roman Empire, put them in a frozen pond, and their commander has to be next to the frozen pond with a fire, warm food, and a hot tub of water. So they can dive into the bath if they deny Christ. So they didn't wait to be stripped, they just stripped themselves and they walked right up onto the pond. They were not going to flinch to give their lives to Christ. They decided, we will not deny Jesus. And the whole night they would confess their love, their faith, their trust in Christ. They sang songs facing Jerusalem. And as they were singing, when 37 of them had died, one of the last three guys said to the commander, "I'm coming out. I deny Christ." And he came out, and as he was about to grab clothes to put on, the commander said, "No, take my clothes, I'm taking your place." What did it take for that heathen pagan commander to take the place of one of the Christians that denied Christ? What in those 39 men's behavior turned him to say, "This is what I want to follow"? Genuine, sincere conviction and commitment. There's something that when we see someone lay down their whole life for something that they believe in, and they show it with all of their passion, all of their emotion, their total conviction, we want to follow that person.
Come on.
It convicts us. It turns our hearts. We want to buy into a genuine, real, sincere faith.
Yeah.
And that pagan guy saw that if 39 guys are willing to die for what they believe in, I want to believe in that.
Come on.
And that's what those certain people saw. They saw David willing to give up everything, honor, glory, power, nothing of that matter. He did not care who he was. He said, God first. God, everything for God. And they said, "We respect that." Have you noticed that in your life? When somebody unashamedly commits and shows total commitment and devotion to a certain thing, you take notice and there's some deep stirring within your spirit. Who's experienced that? When you see somebody save somebody from drowning and struggling themselves and literally doing all they can, and eventually they save that person from a fire or from drowning, what happens to your inside? You start weeping like I do. It's like, wow, everything for God, everything. And that's why those certain girls held David in high regard, because they saw sincere, genuine, bold commitment to God and not to himself. And all of this we say for one main reason. Where does our devotion and commitment lie? Towards Christ. And I know all of us want to be. Am I right? But we unpack it a bit so we can see what are the factors that will get us to that place. What are the things, the inhibitions that keep us from wanting to dance in our underwear before everybody who's replaced Christ before ourselves? All right. So, let's go look at one last scripture. Matthew 14, 24 to 30, and then we're going to get to a few points when we need to go. So this was on the sea with a storm, and Peter and Jesus walking on the water. "Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from there, in trouble, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 in the a.m., early morning, it's dark, and there's wind, and there's waves, and there's water." You know how much noise water does? Have you heard waves? It's like ear deafening. You can hardly hear when the waves are slamming. So these waves of water. And then at 3 o'clock, they saw Jesus. They don't say they saw Jesus. That Jesus came towards them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. Now, if they knew it was Jesus, would they have been terrified? No. They were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." So they think it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Now, if they had recognized his voice, Peter would not make the following statement. So Jesus shouts up. They can't hear, they don't recognize his voice. There's too much noise. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him. Once again, that personality that speaks before they think. God uses him. And even though you may be a massive introvert, when you really believe in something, are you reserved about it? If something so convicts you, and you're passionate about something, do you shout it out or do you whisper it? Who's a big introvert here? Would you shout it out, Sean? Or would you whisper it? Speak up. So this is not only for extroverts. If something so convicts you,
come on,
man, you jump.
Come on.
And you show commitment. You show devotion. You say, "Christ, wash all of me. Wash all of me. Take all of me. I'm yours." Not with better. "Yes. I'm yours, my Jesus."
Come on.
So here, and Jesus spoke. Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you," would he say that if the voice was discernible as Christ's voice? Would he say that? No. "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Is that any proof? Is there any logic to that statement? "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come." That's not proof to me. I'll say, "Lord, if it's you, lift me out of the boat and let me drift towards you," you know? That's proof. And Peter says, "No, it's really you. Tell me to come." Then Jesus said, "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's okay." Then, "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over to the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. And when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. So there's a lot of things we can unpack in this verse. But what I want us to focus on is Peter's undivided commitment, devotion. "I don't care. I'm going to go. I'm going to go." And at the slightest little possibility of it being Christ, I'm going to respond to Christ. So we go look at the first story where Peter says, "Wash all of me, my everything. Just take all of me." Let's quickly read just that one verse. Then, verse 9, Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands, my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Wash all of me. Take all of me. So there's some characteristics, some points that we've all mentioned. Was there any shame in that exclamation in front of all the disciples? What did shame hold him back? There was no shame. Have you ever seen a couple that are totally in love with each other? Do they do foolish things? Does the guy, has Gareth said some crazy stuff the last year?
No comment.
So, has Gene just said something? I mean, like, you can row with me afterwards. I'm sorry, I should have asked you, but I can use you as an example. Have you seen somebody so smitten, so besotted with each other, that they don't care? They don't care what you think, they'll just ooze in loveliness with the other person. Have you seen that? You notice that? There's no shame. So in Peter and David's behavior, there is no shame in saying, "All of me wants all of you."
Yes.
"And I want you to want me."
All right. Was there any reservation? As I put it, there was no reservation. Their posture, their heart was, all of me, my God. All of me. Was there any subtlety? There was no subtlety. It was in Christ's face. Mm-hmm. No. If you say, you don't wash my feet, I have no part of you. Wash me all there. Take me, God.
Come on.
I give myself to you.
Yeah.
There was a bold thrust and enthusiasm to belong. Who was it? Lord, please take me. God, then take all of me. I have such a desire to belong to you. Nothing will hold me back. Nothing. Who says amen?
Amen.
Nothing will hold me back. There was a bold thrust, enthusiasm to belong. Was there an expectation to be received? Hello? Why are you sleeping on me? Was there an expectation to be received?
Amen.
There was an expectation to be received. Lord, take me. There was an explicit statement of devotion. Verbal, no shame, explicit. Take me, God. Not, God, would you consider then to wash my head and my hands, please? No, wash all of me. It was forceful. It was blatant. Explicit statement of love. God, I love you so much, you must love me. Take all of me.
Come on.
Do you see what I'm seeing? Or am I interpreting it wrong? Let's learn from Peter's behavior. Let's learn what kind of commitment, devotion Christ is expecting from us.
Yes.
There's a few things that pleases God as bold, rugged, hard faith. What pleases God? Hebrews chapter 11. Faith. So when you say, God, you have no option but to take me, I'm yours, I belong to you. Do you think God enjoys that? For sure. He loves that. That's faith. That's undivided commitment to God. No matter what it takes, I belong to you, Jesus.
Yes.
I'm yours. By saying that, Peter said, my whole heart belongs to you. It's an explicit statement of love. Do you think he kind of forced himself onto God?
Yeah.
Am I reading into scripture? Hello?
Yeah.
Did he kind of force himself onto God?
Yeah.
I think he did. Do you know how that pleases God? When you so besotted with him, when you are so determined to serve him, that you say, I want you to want me and I'm yours. Thank me.
Come on.
Thank me. That's a blessing. Thank me. I want you to want me. Thank me.
Come
then
on.
God reaches up and he takes you and he uses you like you've never thought possible. And he fills you like you never thought possible. And he lifts you up like you never thought possible. Because you empty yourself for him. Explicit statement of love. He forced himself on Christ. He expressed his absolute heart's desires to Christ. Now tiptoeing, all of me. Take me, Lord, all of me. He has made Christ's purpose his own purpose. He's made Christ's mission. Yes, he has made Christ's purpose his own purpose. He's made Christ's mission his mission.
Come.
All that is important to Christ becomes important to me.
Yeah.
And I no longer have anything that's outside of Christ that's important to me. Who says amen, amen.
Yeah.
All that's important to Christ is important to me. I have nothing left that's important to me. It's not important to Christ. Take my head, my hands, my body, wash all of me. Have all of me. I must want you to want me. Want me, take me. He wants you, don't worry, he really does. But he wants that oomph from you. All of me, Christ. You must say, nothing can exclude me from you. You must say, nothing will prevent me. I will belong to you. I will be yours, Lord.
Say after me, nothing can exclude me from you. Nah, he doesn't believe that. Come on.
Nothing can exclude me from you, God.
And let's say 1, 2, 3.
Nothing can exclude me from you, God.
Nothing will prevent me to belong to you.
Nothing will prevent me from belonging to you.
I will be yours, God. In your name, Jesus Christ. So I'd like us to look at this list and choose 3 of the 12 that you say, God, I lack. I need to grow in those points. So we're going to flip through them. The first 5 for a while, and then the next 5 and the last 2. We'll keep flipping them. Choose 3. You can choose more. You say, God, I need to grow there. I'm not there yet. I'm halfway there. Do you want relationship with Christ? Do you want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Do it this way. Do it this way. This way. You want intimacy with your Creator. If you mean business with God, do it this way. Force yourself to Christ. Not that you can force anything on God. But say, God, I am yours. Exclaim it. If any of you have chosen 3 or more, stand up. Now, talk to God about what you've chosen. It's your time with the Lord about it. Talk to Him. Turn your palms facing the ceiling, please. Pray the following prayer after me. Say it with passion. Lord Jesus, help me to desire you. I want you to want me. I want to give all that I am to you. I want to serve you with my whole heart, with my whole mind, with my whole body. Lord, explode desire within me for you. I need your help for that. Save me from my flesh. Save me from distractions. Rid me of all things that I rather fill myself up with. I want to fill myself up with you. I want to use my most prized possession to wash your feet. The thing that I'm the proudest of, to serve you, to love on you. I need you, Jesus. Save me from lukewarmness. Save me from worldly crutches and distractions. You and you alone, I want to serve. You are the breath that I breathe. Let that be true. Jesus Christ. Amen. So Lord, I want to pray that you would challenge every one of us, including myself, in these areas the next weeks. And when we're about to flinch away to what you're challenging us to give, shalom. Have an attitude towards, posture ourselves. We want to flinch away, that your spirit will convict us and say, no, press in, press forward, go deeper. I pray that grace on every one of us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Right. Two things before we go. Firstly, let's just quickly have a look at this list again. Just if you could go through them. Just take one of these. I know Max said three, but sometimes it's a lot for me to digest. So start with one. Just have a look quickly. Okay. Okay. I want you to just this week, all of us, just take one of these and bring that before the Lord in your quiet time. Just say, God, I feel like I need to grow in this area. For me, it's on the first list, and expectation to be received, I think is what it said. I feel like sometimes when I come to God, I come low, and I'm like, God, I'm not sure. I first have to say sorry for a few things, but Peter was different. Peter, like all people, he gave himself to God. So that's my thing for this week. Find whatever it is for you to bring before God and say, God, help me grow in this area. Is that okay? Okay. Secondly, we are going for ice cream afterwards. I don't know about you, but this heat, when I got in the car, it said 40 degrees. I need some ice cream. So if anyone wants to come with, we're going to hang out. The place is in Church Street. Those of you know where Church Street is, close to Java. Spirited is the place's name. You can join over there. If you're a visitor, please join us. Please hang out with us afterwards. And let's look out for the visitors, invite them to community, and pull them in. Okay.